Something tells me Theris could have gone on for a while. Thank you. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10, and let me just say that I have a new adventure to add to my chapter 13 book, a road closure that sent us out of the way, and I apologize. We left Pleasant View in plenty of time. Hello from a sister congregation. Paul has given us examples in 1 Corinthians 10 of people who have gone astray. And they're given to us as a warning, verse 11, written down as warnings on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. And then he goes into some of the most read verses that probably we've ever heard. I remember hearing them in junior high, middle school time frame, high school. And I have a feeling I heard them a few times as a freshman in college at school devotionals, at the student center devotionals. God's faithfulness is the main rendering of the verse, and his faithfulness in helping us to avoid falling into temptations. He says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall, first of all. When I left Pleasant View, maybe this happened today to give me the perfect illustration. When we left there, we had plenty of time to get here with 20, 30, almost 30 minutes to spare. I felt really good. It's an opportunity to help a sister congregation out, to be here in plenty of time, and to get to spend time with you. My pride was not in place, but I felt good about it. This is going to work out. This is wonderful. Boom. Just when you think it's wonderful, you find out, wait a minute, this does not look familiar. We've been here before, but not to go home from this perspective. And there are times where, as parents, we had the warning, don't put confidence in yourself and don't think that it's all going to work out. Give it to God. Let it happen according to God's timetable. And because it's on God's timetable, it's okay. But don't have a false pride in things working out, because that false pride is going to be when you fall. Desperately, I add a word, because it hurts more, it seems worse, because just moments earlier, literally in some cases, but certainly very quickly you find out what went wrong. Why didn't this work out? Why am I on the ground, knocked to the ground, instead of standing up, following through on the plans that I had made that were so well-intentioned? Be careful when you think you're standing firm. Be careful that you don't fall. Two examples come from Scripture. Haman thought, when he went to the king and he had them read from a history book, that everything was set and Mordecai would hang on that tree, if you will. He would be hung and he would get everything he thought he deserved. Very confidently, he did not. Peter forewarned that he would, before the cock crew at the third hour, he would deny his Lord three times. And he says, no way will I do that. My words. That's not going to happen, Peter thought to himself, and even exclaimed something similar. And the bottom line is, those things happened. Those things happen. Brian, turn the slide off. I will go against everything I believe if I try to preach what I had planned. I would not want someone to do that to me. James chapter 1. Paul has much to say, and we'll go back there in a moment. But he has some things to say to us here, and the slides were going to take us through some of this. James 1, verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting you, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Two things that I've always remembered and been taught from an early age. One, the temptation is not sin in itself. To be tempted is not sinful. There was a time as a young person I thought that was the case. If I'm tempted to do something, it's saying something against me, my character flaw, or something. I should not be tempted to do that at all. And yet, if being tempted is a sin, Christ was tempted 3 times in the desert, and he was sinless. So we have to figure that out for ourselves. To be tempted is not a sin. But temptation does come when Satan, evil, the influence around us, other people know a weakness we have, here called a desire. Satan uses the desire that's within us to move us forward toward deception, and that's the trick. That's the fishing line and the worm on the hook and trying to trick that fish to bite that hook when it thinks it's something else. Deception. And Satan is good at it. He's very good at it. So I have the desires, but he's trying to deceive me, to be disobedient, and it becomes sin. That's the three bottom steps: desire, deception, disobedience, sin, spiritual death, the three D's. So I've got to see through the deception. Jesus used Scripture 3 times. We have Scripture today that can help us to see through Satan's lies. Most of us could probably sit down, if we're very forthright with ourselves, most of us could probably sit down and write on a piece of paper the 3 or 4 areas that we tend to fall most in. These are areas of sin that most often come into our life. It's not the first time, it may be the 10,000th time that you're still struggling with something, 2, 3 things maybe. And what the example of Christ would tell us is that we need to have Scripture ready when we're in that process of being deceived by Satan. Whatever that area of life is, have a Scripture ready to go in your mind, to quote it, to defeat him, so as not to be disobedient. That's what we're taught from the example of Christ. But Satan is good at what he does. Back to 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. I think we know this, but the verse says it as if we need to remember this. Every person sitting here today goes through the same things you go through in relation to sin and temptation. It's a common experience for every one of us. And he wants us to understand this. You're not in this alone. And when you tell God that you've sinned, he's heard it before from most of the people sitting around you right now. It's common. Doesn't make it right. It's not asking you to excuse it, but it's asking you to just acknowledge that before he's getting ready to say something powerful. It's the main point of this short section of verses. We usually don't get to it. The reality is this is common with all of us. So get over it thinking that he's picking on you or thinking that this is only happening to me. It's common to every one of us. But what's the answer? God is faithful. God is faithful. I can't depend on you, me, if we're trying to get over something, work through something, not give in to the temptation to be disobedient. And if I think I'm good at it, be careful lest you fall. The warning's already been given. God is faithful. We need to say that many, many times in a normal day and week. God is faithful. God, I'm not. I'm not always as faithful as I want to be. And I know what to do when I'm not, but I wish I were better at these things. But realizing it happens to others and I depend upon you, you are faithful. He will not let you, me, be tempted beyond what you can bear. As tough as it is, God is in control. And God won't let it be something that goes against your power to say no. The story of Job talks about that heavenly discussion that Satan had with God. He believes that Christians have two things working as you attach the message there to Christianity. Christians serve God because of blessings that we receive. Take away his blessings and he'll curse you to his face. Job did not. And then he said, but if you touch his skin, Satan believes that we're only going to serve him, be faithful to him, when everything's going great physically, emotionally, the physical aspect of our life. And Satan says, you do whatever you want to him, but keep him alive. You can't kill him. Touch his skin. And they did. A variety of things did. God is faithful. We may lose our blessings and we may go through physical difficulties. But God is faithful and will not let us go beyond what you can bear. What you can handle, what you can stand up to. But when you're tempted, he, God, will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. It's amazing the bookends of this section. Stand, just when you think you're standing, you may fail, you may fall. But God's help, his faithfulness, his being with you in the midst of these temptations, you'll be able to stand. God's there, you'll be able to stand. But you know the simplistic form of this verse? When Satan's here, or here, or here, and we've taken our focus off of God, and we're seeing Satan instead of God, it's as if you need to turn around and get out of there. But also the metaphor, there's a back door provided. Get out of it. Go out the back door. And we sometimes don't do the simplest of things. Scripture tells us that we need to flee, what? The very appearance of evil. Flee the very appearance of that which could take you toward disobedience. Flee the very appearance of it. But if we haven't fled and we've moseyed up and we're kind of closer than we thought we would ever be, God's provided a way out. And we've got to be willing to take it. Paul made a statement to the church at Thessalonica. He says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Sometimes in temptation we say, well, I know I shouldn't do that, but... And we hesitate. There's not a clear no to the circumstance right there in front of us. There's certainly not a clear yes, I'm doing what's right. There's a, well, maybe. It wouldn't be so bad. Others have done the same thing. No one will ever know who's telling you those lies. Flee and get out of there using the way out. And the blessing is that God is faithful. I close with 1 John 1, verse 9. We studied it the first two or three weeks when we came in February. God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins when we confess it and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God is faithful when we aren't. And the two verses around verse 9, the claim, I don't sin, I won't sin, there's no sin in me, you're telling lies, the word's not in you. Deal with the temptation that you've given into, confess it. God is faithful and just. What that word means is he's not breaking any rules to forgive you over and over and over again. It's justice. God is just to forgive you 7 times in a single day. We forgive someone, Peter asked. No, 7 times 70. 7 times 70. How patient are you with other people who's done the same thing several times? They've let you down. They've wanted to do better, but they haven't. And here they've come and asked you to bail them out again. Well, 7 times 70 is the beginning point, right? It's not once or twice in this month. It's not once or twice since breakfast. It's 7 times 70. That we forgive someone who sinned against us. God is faithful. He wants us to be faithful to each other because we're all in this together. We all go through similar things. Your desire that leads you astray toward the deception is different than others. Similar, but probably different. And some of us would be shocked at why would that be a problem with them? Because it's not with us. But it is with them. That's their weak area that Satan can attack. And we have one. And probably ours would surprise other people. Turn to God. Make it right. Today, make it known. And our shepherds will come and submit that to God, and he will take care of it. We know he will. And we leave this place brand new, white as snow, again. Let's stand and sing.